The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
You know, today I was in front of the pepperoni and salami aisle, looking at the sausages and all, and I got struck by a deep realization, a deep idea just inserted inside my brain, like in the movie Inception. Just like Mal, I was looking at all these pepperoni products, sliced, full sausage, farmer sausage, salami sausage, dryish sausage, hot dog sausage, and I got struck by the conviction that this world is not real, that the world in which we live is an illusion. I got struck by the realization that this is all the same product. There are almost no more meats that are just fresh meat. You have a couple of chicken products, beef products, pork chops, but the vast majority of what's in the fridge in the grocery store is all this pink slime, you know, where they have all these extra animal products that they brew together and it leads to this pink slice that gives the color to the hot dog sausages. And really, I was looking at the whole set of options. Pepperoni is not a traditional Italian charcuterie. It's just pink slime prepared with a little bit more spices. It's just a hot dog sausage that you buy when you buy pepperoni. Salami, same thing. It's not salami that's made out of good pieces of meat that were grounded. It's pink slime salami. It's hot dog sausage, and they dry it a little more, and they put little bits of fat in it and some more salt, and there you go, you got salami. And then the slices the same, the hot dog sausage the same. Everything is pink slime. We are being fed guy slop. End of the line. Joel says, the amount of meat or vegetables that humans have successfully harvested is incredibly small. Fewer than 80 species of plants/animals. Absolutely. Stephen Robinson says, JF is in a bunch of baloney. Baloney itself is not a classic charcuterie. Baloney is hot dog filler sausage. Man, and then you want mortadella? Mortadella? Mortadella is pink slime with little bits of fat in it. You want bologna? Bologna is pink slime. Everything is pink slime. Strange Channel says reverb or echo. Hello? Oh, sorry. Hello? What is this? Hello? All right. We should have no echo test. Okay. Wow. Capicola says Keds and Dad. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that there's some degree of just grounding of anything animal in even these higher quality charcuteries. In the end, the only thing you can truly be sure of are the slices of ham, of prosciutto, jambon de Bayonne. The whole rest of the charcuterie world has been taken over by how do we package our pink slime so that people will eat it. It is so sad in a way, so sad. But at the same time, just as this was the case with the Clamato Jews, you have to make yourself a part of the industrial machinery if you want to survive. And in a way, we can be thankful that all this caloric proteins and other nutrients are all available to us at cheap price. There was someone writing to me yesterday. I forgot to answer to him yesterday in the show. I will answer tonight. He was saying, "Hey, JF, I'm 32 years old, and I finally met a woman that I'm interested in. Libertarian, smart, very enlightened and awake on how things really work in the world. We have just begun our relationship, and she is also 32 years old. A part of me wants to make sure that she is the right one, but another part says the clock is ticking. Any advice? What do you think of dating a woman of this age, contrarily to those who would counsel to date younger?" My counsel to you is to absolutely inseminate this woman the quickest you can. At 32 years old, you're good. You have enough time ahead of you, but you don't want to lose any of this time. So most importantly, she's 32 years old. Maybe if you were 32 years old, but she's younger, there may not be the same urgency. But at 32 years old, if you start inseminating now, you're going to get two or three babies. And it's what you can do at this point. So go for it and inseminate, especially since you seem to have a good understanding with her. You seem to like the way she is. So that is a rarity, actually, in 32-year-old dating. So go for it. It is the right one, absolutely. There won't be any further sign that she is the right one, and waiting will not bring any more joy or certainty into your choice. So given that you have accumulated all information that's needed, there's no further information coming. So you have to take a decision now. And given the positive stuff you say about her mental and political ideals, that is very good. Go for her. You know, there's still a chance she will divorce you. But there's a chance that anyone will divorce you. So given the signs that she shows to be a libertarian, to be right-wing minded, those are very good signs. You're not going to find better than this by just waiting and waiting. So you have achieved the greatest level of certainty possible. You are pressed against the clock. And on top of it, ultimately, the human body, the human mind is designed to be better under baby-making mood. So it's like you could experience 1 year of very bad relationship with her if you let time go too far. Because you're going to discover what the female brain does when it's not pregnant. You shouldn't discover this ever. You should always impregnate, and you'll see that your relationship will be even stronger because you'll be set on a common project and there won't be some messing around, some questioning. It will give certainty in your couple. So absolutely inseminate. Ked's Dad says, "Small boobs are superior. Do not be fooled by Khazar milkers." Yes, today I have been unleashed. I have been unleashed by my girlfriend. She had retained a tweet of mine 6 months ago, and I was feeling like I was being censored. She didn't want me to publish a picture of a beautiful female with small boobs, mentioning how I love small boobs. But today she has realized, thinking about it for months, she has realized that it was wrong of hers to impede on my liberty to discuss. And anyways, you know, she took issue with me lusting at women, but the fact is when I tweet these things, it's purely an intellectual endeavor. The thing is, there is a problem in society, and it's not just the DEI in the government that has happened. In society over the last 40 years, male cognition has been rejected and pushed into the edges of even the unacceptable, so that there used to be places where males can exchange in a male cognition way, and these places literally do not exist anymore. Literally, men are being told from elementary school to adult age by women what they can say and should say. And we want to say these things, and those are the things that women accept we say. And to me, I've always known that the greatest wife or partner I would have in my life, I knew that she had to understand this. And I found it beautiful this morning that my girlfriend realized the wrongs of her ways and said, okay, you can tweet whatever you want about boobs. I can take it now. So I was able, therefore, to finally tweet a tweet that I was wanting to tweet for 6 months, which merely, it's not much. Considering that I've waited 6 months to publish this, it's really not an important tweet. But I can now post this picture and say it loudly. This is the ideal boob size for woman. Anything above that is too much, and that is simply the objective truth. You see the flatness of the chest. You see that you cannot accomplish this small boob size without being extremely thin. When I tell you that I am Kate Moss style 90s anorexic, a fan of this kind of body, that is the kind of body that I like. And the same reason for which this girl is beautiful are the exact same reason why my girlfriend is beautiful. My girlfriend looks exactly like this, not blonde hair. But anyways, everyone with blonde hair these days, it's all fake and tinted. John D. Battista says, Jeff, is it better to try to slowly red pill / convert a woman to traditional values, or is it better to just go all in and argue the right values up front? Covert feminists are wasting my time. It is better to inseminate. It is better to inseminate. Now, what the woman believes politically is absolutely irrelevant, because women don't even... there's not even a connection between the various parts of their brain that handle reality processing, political ideology, consistency across time. It's like a big pudding in there. So to start with wanting to change a woman is a big error. Because, yeah, women change like a fucking metal part below my car that does... women are unstable. And even if you were to change her, she will change... Woman, I've said it before, how do men view the world? The men see that there are other men, other women, they are people, they interact. Women don't see the world like this. Women see the world literally like the meme, you know, with a mask, with a cardboard face on. Women see the world like this, and it's all about, oh, my cardboard representation of myself is finding that your cardboard representation of yourself doesn't look very good. That's why whenever you argue politics with women on Twitter, they come with such stupid things like, well, that doesn't look very good, does it? It's like, you really can't get out of this social cognition in which you're trapped, right? You can't engage on the actual facts. You're talking about how carrying the facts makes you look good or look bad. And that's why they will always... There is not a single debate that I've ever had with women on Twitter where it doesn't end with something like, well, you don't have a girlfriend, or, oh, you must be an incel, or, oh, well, you must be quite interesting for the ladies, huh? It's all they can think, because that's all they control. They control the gatekeeping of the vagina, and their entire political beliefs are based around this. The entire project of the state, the modern state, has been built by women voting to empower themselves using the leverage that they have on this gatekeep mechanism. So, all in all, to tell you, you're not going to change a woman. Even if you change her, she's going to oscillate back to whatever she wants. And so, no, you do not go easy on women. You inseminate, and then you present your views honestly about how you see the world. And then they take it or they don't take it. That's their problem. Now, many women will just like that you're an alpha and that you're just laying out your beliefs, and they will roll with it. Or maybe they will happen to agree if they're right-wing. But if your statement of clear beliefs leads her to flee you and leave you, well, that's her problem. It's her problem that she is mixing politics with the couple, with the personal stuff, and you didn't. You just stated your belief, and she is intolerant toward your beliefs. So she's the problem, and if she goes away, then at least she's inseminated and she's going to have to carry your children around. Cat's Dead says, that's not very nice to say about woman, JF. Lol. Joke. Okay, you got me. I thought you were serious for a moment. Rodilison says, there's nothing wrong with small boobs, but let's not fall into the leftist mentality and say that everyone is equally beautiful. There is a reason why the male gaze is instantly hypnotized by curves and not the androgynous flat female that can be easily confused with a male. But if you're confusing this woman with a man, that's your problem. Maybe for the low IQ, they need a signal. Oh, big boobs. Ah, can't be a man. Ah, but see, that's the issue. It's that these things are so trivial that it's becoming more and more easy for males to acquire big boobs surgically. So if you cannot see a feminine woman there, you have a problem. To all those people saying, Jeff, you're gay because you like flat chests and men happen to have flat chests. There's nothing in this girl right here that looks male-ish or masculine. You are absolutely beside the track. You don't matter to the universe. Doubting Thomas says, JF, you criticize the overdiagnosis of autism due to state incentives. Complementary to this, autism has become the only socially acceptable diagnosis. How else can the nonverbal savant have the same condition as a child once considered being megalomaniac, psychopathy, antisocial, etc.? Oh yeah, like you don't come to your daycare talking with the other moms and being like, oh yeah, my child has been diagnosed, he's a psychopath, you know. We're making everything we can. We hope it doesn't turn into a mass shooting, you know. We've locked the guns in the house. We're being careful. No. So yes, there is also a social pressure. You're right. You detected something here. There is also kind of a demand, because autism is so okay, neutral. It's you're not scared necessarily of someone with autism. It's like, you know, it's going to okay, if we leave him alone, he should be okay. He should not be attacking my child. But yeah, there are so many other diagnoses that you just wouldn't brag about. You're absolutely correct. There is a social conditioning and reinforcing of the autism diagnosis. Jeff Younger, the father of a transed kid, transed by his wife, by his ex-wife, says more please and faster please. He says this to Trump rescinding Biden order, protecting gender clinics from investigation, signals a new whistleblower protections. Absolutely disgusting that these people were let to go with a medical program that was highly experimental, that we basically knew it was going to go bad. I mean, you can't just think you're going to mass produce sex change surgery, abolition of testicles, hormone change, some of the most heavy stuff you can modify in the human body, and that it's going to be all right. Everything is going to be fine. Of course, these things mess up people. But the most disgusting thing is that these liberals have been making it impossible to investigate as it should. Investigate as damages being made to our children and to some adults. Cat's Dead says, do you think BTC will continue to drop? We're at 88.4K right now. The drop is big. I'm stuck in BTC personally. I'm staying in BTC. I'm not going to sell at the bottom. I'm not going to sell below 100K. That's for sure. So I'm staying no matter what in BTC, and so be it. I personally think that these bull runs have tended to have at least two big waves. And so I would expect a wave of return to the all-time high and beyond, personally. But you can't bet your life on it. You can't bet your house on it. But I'm pretty confident, personally, especially since we are in longer wave bull runs. You know, the bull runs of the past were very specific events of peaks. They were single peaks often. But the bull runs these days are planned for, and there's people pouring billions of money from the economic sector. So I would say that probably the sell that you see right now is people scared, people not understanding the long-term value of BTC. And personally, I'm confident it will go high. So I'm staying. I'm not selling. I'm not fucking selling. Rodilison says the next BTC halvening is expected to be in 2028. So between then and now, it will surely dip lower than it is now. But how far do you think it will go? Well, yeah, I don't think we've entered a bear market yet. So that's, and I think that at some point there may not be bear markets. So that's my feel. It's just a feel. It may very well go down to 70K, but I would expect it to go back up before 2028. I would expect it to go back up maybe within the year. There's going to be other good news, you know, around Bitcoin. There's going to be the politicians potentially signing it into law, the reserve stuff and everything. I don't know what people will think of me, male D-trans. Hi all. I, a male, just turned 18, wanted to share my story with transitioning, detransitioning, and ask if anyone went through something similar or has any advice for my situation. I came out as transgender when I was just a little boy. I was already living as female by age 7, with a new name and long hair. My transition was different than most in that I was put on hormone blockers. When I was very young, right as I started puberty, around 11, and then female hormones at age 14. As you can imagine, for someone on this subreddit, the results are devastating. I certainly appear different than most men my age. Due to the hormone blockers, I never developed past Tanner stage 2. As a younger teen, my body was hairless and I had no sexual desires at all. As an adult now, I'm 5'3". My genitals are extremely underdeveloped. I grew breasts I wear a men's size 5 shoe, etc. I've come to terms with the idea of being male itself and detransitioning, but the problem is doing it while looking the way I do now. I started low-dose testosterone shots a few weeks ago to jumpstart my system, and I'm having my levels monitored in the meantime. I know certain things can change. I like my voice and body hair, but my growth plates are almost certainly fused, so I'll be short for the rest of my life. I'll have to have surgery if I want to fix gynecomastia. So that's the having of breasts for males. I have no clue if my genitals will change. I may look like this forever, and I'm terrified of other men's reactions. I don't know how people will treat me once my voice drops and it becomes clear I'm not a woman. Just a smaller, weaker, inferior guy. I don't know what they'll think, and I know my situation is rather unique with the hormone blockers, so I wonder if any of you have advice. I know I have to do this, but my biggest fear is that I'll be respected even less than I am now. Well, bro, you fucked up. Let me tell you, you fucked up. If you come to see Papa JF psychologist in his psychologist office, I'm gonna be like, bro, this is a mess I can't fix. You fucked up, bro. Yeah, I mean, you're on the right path to be trying to correct this to the minimum, to the extent you can. I would tell you that you are way too much concerned about what other males will think of you. What other males will think of you does not matter, and they won't think that much of it. And you have to stop defining yourself as a social product. Like, you have these massive physiological problems with yourself, and you're thinking not about these problems, but you're thinking about what others will think. And in that sense, you're still drinking the trans Kool-Aid. Because the trans Kool-Aid is all about what you project to others. It's all about, oh, look, I can adopt the appearance of a woman. And so stop defining yourself socially. Stop having a self-worth that is tied to what other males think, because what other males think does not matter. What matters is whether you can inseminate a female. So go out there, find a weirdo female, maybe a goth, anorexic weirdo that will kind of fit with your body style, and just fuck that goth, anorexic weirdo to pregnancy. Now, you're going to have to give it your all because your balls are small, but nature finds a way, life finds a way, and hopefully once you have inseminated, you will probably go through the developmental stages of a young man who becomes a father. I think it will be good for your testosterone levels. Ferner says, not all guts are anorexic. Bro, this is absolute wisdom. You are absolutely correct. Fat gothic women do exist. Let us have a look now that I am free. I have been unleashed to see woman bodies on the show and in my tweets. Look at this. A fat gothic woman. Fat gothic woman. Fat gothic. This spells trouble, let me tell you. I've been with this kind of woman before. Oh my god. Holy shit. Red flags all over. These women are fucked up in the head, let me tell you. It's like, you may approach them thinking, oh, well, they're displaying this in kind of a sarcastic way. No. There's no such thing as sarcasm in the domain of female mental disruption. If they display mental disruption, they only display actually less than there is in their head. So a female who displays mental disruption through tattooing or this kind of aesthetic, she is... she's sending warning signals, and in fact, the warning signals should be amplified because they are more fucked up in the ad than what they will show you like this. Today, I had a beautiful piece of Eye of Round. Cost me $30 only, $30 Canadian. That's like $24 US for a 5.5-pound Eye of Round. Having tasted beef from around the world, I must say that Alberta beef is the highest quality one in all categories. A ribeye from anywhere is always good, but Alberta beef distinguishes itself in that no matter the cut, the fat parts of it are yellowish, which I'm told is indicative of a higher content in omega-3 fats. Some fat parts that are usually unedible or harder to chew, such as the strip loin and the eye of round in Alberta, are much softer and cook more easily. They easily lead to a melt-in-mouth fatty experience. This is true for prime beef sold to restaurants down to direct from the farm meats, as well as grocery store meats. My hypothesis is that cows here are truly grass-fed, in the sense of wandering in natural fields all year long, even when the fields are covered in snow during the winter. Farmers grow special grass crops on small sections of their lands that can stay long and up despite the snow, which allows cows to have natural and diverse foraging activities all year long. I haven't seen the spring in here yet, but it seems like the fields just grow grass naturally and do not need to be replanted much with seeds. This is probably what distinguishes the meat here from cows that are fed constantly the same feed or a limited array of monocultured grass. One day my dream would be to prepare either a Alberta strip loin or a chicken drumstick meal for Gordon Ramsay. I hope I can get to do this at some point. I don't know if I can insert myself into one of his contests. I don't want to win the contest. I want Gordon Ramsay to taste my hypersurgical version of a drumstick or Alberta strip loin, because the Alberta strip loin has a layer of fat on it that is absolutely tasty. It is extremely tasty. It's earthy. It tastes like very rich. David Smith says, yes, grass-fed has more omega-3 and more yellow fat. Good for brain, nerves, also anti-inflammatory. Bro, I am so happy here. I am so happy. And now the spring is coming. The expenses are super low. Natural gas, less and less needed for heating the home. I can hear all day long as I do programming and check the news. I can hear all day long the dripping of water as the ice melts outside. It's like tick, 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 tick. The ice is crackling, which is why I published this AI-produced poem about spring on Twitter. Ferner says, well, put some recipes on your channel. Show us what you got. Well, I did put some recipes on the blockchain. Have you been checking out my recipes on the blockchain, bro? Because let me find my NFT here. I have recorded an NFT permanently on the blockchain. There it is. Jean-François Garrier P. So this is my inheritance to the world. Jean-François Garrier P's fry sauce. Smoked dill fry sauce. 2 spoons of real mayo. 1 spoon of smoked paprika. 1/2 spoon of dill pickle juice. Chopped fresh chives. 2 drops of red hot pepper sauce. Freshly ground pepper. And salt. I haven't put any recipes for meat, but I like the idea of leaving some inheritance to the world that will exist in the millions of years for the future. Gad's dad says blockchain is fake. If you want to protect your money, get a wallet chain. bro, is this some sort of troll? Should I take the bait? No, the blockchain is not fake. The blockchain is real. It's all that will survive. You and I. There is a battalion of male to female transgenders within the American intelligence apparatus. They hate Italians and libs of TikTok. They fantasize about pseudo vaginas and butthole lasers. They are in charge of the most sophisticated spying machine in human history. That is a very good description. I mean, we're seeing the chats. I've published some of the chats this morning on my Twitter. It's a bunch of weirdo trans that are they're on government payroll, and they have these government chat rooms, and the government chat rooms have this special software that highlights the pronouns of people. So when they chat, it's like not just JF, it's JF, they, them. So they have implemented this in specialized software. I have never seen that. So see, when they started doing this on their Twitter bio, when you started seeing this appearing on Twitter bio, he, him, that was all first worked on within the walls of government. It was all paid for probably at the billions of dollars, because of course the government cannot get anything down in terms of programming and coding. They have to pay billions of dollars before anything gets done. They have these specialized chatting software that says their pronouns beside their name. And they are in these chat rooms talking about how, oh my God, RFK Jr. is going to become the health secretary. We're not going to have vaccines anymore. And, oh, I'm going to this gamer music festival. Haha, make sure you wash your hand to wash the gamer scum off your hands. So they're like, they're puritanist trans who hate gamers but hang out in gamer culture. Exactly the kind of people who come to wreck gaming culture. Exactly the kind of people we've seen in the last few years trying to insert this DEI mentality within gaming. An Ontario court has issued a ruling in two combined cases ordering a Thunder Bay blogger to pay $380,000 in damages for Facebook posts that accuse drag performers of grooming children. So you can't have in Canada the opinion. Oh, well, that's in Ontario. It probably would go different in a place like where I am. But I used to be in these provinces, and they're going after people who think differently. This guy just has an opinion that if you dance sexually with sexual displays in front of children, which is what drag queens are, and if you read stories, you are participating to an act of grooming. That is an opinion. It should be protected under Canadian law. But with these humanitarian courts that are filled with leftists that don't have to follow due process, really, it's not safe to be in these leftist states anymore and provinces. So that's why I'm out. Judge Lauren Alican, a Biden appointee, just blocked Trump from freezing billions in federal aid, calling his spending cuts breathtaking and siding with left-wing nonprofits. Well, I hope that she doesn't get her way, and I hope that they're not trying to pump money out before it gets to the Supreme Court. Hopefully Trump can bring this in emergency to the Supreme Court and affirm his executive power. Because if the president cannot stop a money flow on the basis that it's violating civil rights, I mean, all of these money flows are violating white people's civil rights. That would be an elementary case that you can make. All of these are violating some basic rights. They are all pushing for DEI, hiring of people that are non-white. They are all anti-heterosexual. And so if a president cannot stop a money flow on the basis that it's violating some civil rights, then how is it that they can... How are they the leader of anything? How do we have leaders? Rodita Sid says, can you declare bankruptcy? How can you avoid paying something like that? It's crazy. $300K. Well, of course, when you're pursued by the state, you need to not own anything. So if you're a dissident in Canada, you know better than to accumulate $300K in your bank account. So, yes, if he can declare bankruptcy and he doesn't have to pay this. But if he already had a house and he got surprised by this lawsuit and he thought he was going to win and he kept his house, that's where it's a problem. Because then the house is easily seizable from him. So when you're a blogger like this, you own nothing and you are happy. That is the only way to survive as a dissident. It's also what Nick Fuentes does, you know. Nick Fuentes lives and films his show in a house that is managed by the will of his grandmother. He's not inherited it. It's the property of his grandmother. You can have property and be dead. It's okay. That's one way in which you can avoid these illegal state pursuits.
As you all know, for decades, a group of D.C.-based journalists, the White House Correspondents Association, has long dictated which journalists get to ask questions of the President of the United States in these most intimate spaces. Not anymore. I am proud to announce that we are going to give the power back to the people who read your papers, who watch your television shows, and who listen to your radio stations. Moving forward, the White House press pool will be determined by the White House press team. Legacy outlet.
Excellent. That is very good. Because there is a system of aristocratic privilege where the legacy media is self-favoring, and it's time to abolish this. This goes back to the blue check marks and the fact that they tried making the internet respect the system of privilege that existed in the normie world. And thankfully, we won that blue check battle, thankfully. And we now need to erase these other forms of privilege. Lendald Guntram says, new Tulsi Gabbard to fire transgender extremists and sexual deviants who participated in NSA's secret sex kink chat rooms. Well, okay. Baby steps. Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay, we should not... we should celebrate things that are going in the right direction. Michigan State Rep. Josh Shriver introduces resolution calling on the Supreme Court to overturn the 2015 ruling on gay marriage. Rumors have speculated the Supreme Court is looking to overturn the ruling allowing states to ban gay marriage. Yeah, there's no way to work around what the left has been doing in the last 5 years, which is that they have affirmed that they could inject you by force with a vaccine. And once you'd cross that boundary, once you tell me, oh no, well, it's not written in the Constitution, JF, that we can't vaccinate you by force, we can't have... five police hold you down while they inject you with a syringe. And at this point, you have to be like, okay, true. It's not written in the Constitution. But it's not written in the Constitution that you can benefit from the alliance that marriage is if you are in an eminently unreproductive relationship. Definitely not written in the Constitution. And so at some point, the leftists, it comes back biting because they violated so many rights, including the right against racial discrimination. I mean, the last 20 years is all, it's all a pursuit against white people and give only jobs to blacks. Let's try to see if that one, let's try to see this time if we get a black middle class. Someone was sending a meme, it was a hilarious meme, that the black middle class has basically been canceled. Canceled by Trump. Because indirectly through these cuts and all, what is really suffering is that we have tried to elevate a fictive black middle class in America. That would not have happened, but the Democrats were convinced that they could do it through state bias, that if we were giving enough jobs to black people, we could fix black people. And it was an absolute delusion. So, all in all, if the left keeps violating our rights like they do, I'm all for reviewing anything that the Supreme Court has decided was previously a right. And the right to gay marriage, to me, it makes absolute sense that it wouldn't even be discriminatory for a state to say, we allow marriage between heterosexual couples because we want to favor baby making. And we have no reason to give those advantages to people who are not going to make babies. Stick Sex on Hammer says, America now has its own version of South Africa and its farm killings. There were cartels operating in Texas that used an improvised explosive device to target American ranchers. So they place these explosives on the rancher's land with the idea that when the rancher comes to check and what is this? The rancher died here in this case. The rancher died trying to pick up that explosive or not knowing that that explosive was there. Extremely grave behavior because you are here at the intersection between normal life and war. This is the war of immigration. This is the war that immigration is. In past times, any sort of immigration of the kind we see now would be called a war. If a bunch of brown people just show up at your nation and they're running and they have no papers and they violate the law and they're looking for food and they're taking anything you throw at them, that is a war. Normally it's only not a war right now because we don't fight back really. Ademir says the city of Albuquerque put it into their charter that their mission as a city is to do business specifically with people of color. Hashtag true story. I don't know about this particular town, but we've seen this everywhere. These sanctuary cities, they're trying to fix an unfixable problem. We're still stuck in that conversation I had with Valsh in 2017, really. Where he's like, how can you really be sure that black people cannot make it into general outcomes that we see in whites? And it's like, do I really have to be sure? Well, beyond the sum of empirical evidence from Africa to Chicago to Haiti to South Africa, if you don't want to believe the sum of empirical evidence, then I could acknowledge, if you want, that I'm not sure. I'm not sure like I'm sure that the sun will rise tomorrow, but I'm pretty damn sure that they're not going to reach the same outcomes as white. I mean, look at the SES equilibrated studies that show that if you even make them richer, if you just select the richest family, the more well-off black family, they still have a higher rate of violence than the poorest, or they are equivalent to the poorest of the poorest whites. And Vouch saying, I think there is a way. And me answering to Vouch, well, if you want to develop your own aquarium where you do biological experiments with black people, and I don't know, you give them whatever vaccine you think will work, and go ahead, do it. But you can't do this at the cost of the rest of society. And what we have done in the last 20 years is absolutely destroy the entirety of the mechanisms of society, meritocracy to the trash, just so we could lie to black people and say, oh yeah, you can do it as a host, Don Lemon. Oh yeah, you, Joy Reid, you can have your prime time moment on MSNBC. But we've done that at the cost of these corporations. These corporations literally sank themselves just to show a little bit of moral display. That, oh yeah, we tried. But no one wants to listen to Don Lemon, that, as it turns out. And so Don Lemon gets fired and he goes on YouTube and he gets 500 views per videos. That is the history of America in the last 20 years. They tried free handouts. Then they tried free cell phones. Then they tried free houses. Then they tried free jobs. And no matter how much money you throw at the problem, it just creates more corruption and more corruption. And there's people enriching themselves in the process. But you don't fix the problem that you had set to fix at the beginning, which was you wanted equality in a world that cannot be equal. Ademir says, you can imagine the results when the paving contracts are doled out based on race and gender. Yes, there will be some paving to be redone. So far, it's been determined that George Soros received $260 million from USAID. He didn't spend his own money to destroy the American justice system. He used ours. This is one of the most disgusting thing about government funding of these crappy NGOs and stuff. It's first, you could have a reasoning where you think, okay, George Soros is a billionaire. He deserved that money. He made the right decisions on the market. No matter how evil it is or scheming it is, it's his money. So he can spend it on whatever ideology he wants. And if it's a bad ideology, he's just going to be wasting his money, really. But it's much darker than this. He gets that money from... He creates these non-profits that are checking JF Show and making sure that there's no hate on JF Show and contacting YouTube to tell them there's hate on JF Show. And then he gets these things funded by the government, so it's not his money anymore. It's absolutely disgusting. But there is a white-pilling thing in all this, and someone was mentioning this on Twitter. The white-pilling thing is that the whole rise of the left is a smokescreen. It's a big lie that they could only sustain with massive flows of money. Even if the left was to take power again, they might have some difficulty restoring the flows of money to that level of waste and corruption. So the good news is the last 10 years that we've seen of right-wing oppression, censorship, lies, hit pieces, mainstream media trying to reconquer the attention of people, trying to make the case that they still had an audience, all of this is fake. They were buying fake subscriptions to their newspaper. They don't have the numbers. They were cheating the shadow bannings and algorithm to advantage themselves. In other words, the leftist rise is in large part funded by enormous amounts of energetic waste. And the good news is that such enormous amount is not sustainable long term. So maybe the left will take back power at some point and will reaward themselves these flows of money. But we're making a big dent in the machine, and we don't have to work that hard, because getting people to vote Biden, for example, in 2020 was an operation that required so much bullying and so much funding and so much secret vote at harvesting and so much knocking at the door of 60 IQ people and saying, you have to vote for Biden. It's in your interest. Do it now. I brought you the little vote from home kit because COVID, you know. All of this costed so much. And there were people making money from it. There were people draining that system just to get their little nonprofit salary as woman in HR and woman in office one and office two. And they were doing absolutely nothing productive for society. So there is an end to these systems. It is that they are so wasteful that they end up crumbling. Ferner says, you say they're too fat now. They can't hide and run. 10K Dodd Ranch. I don't know what you're talking about, Ferner. Maybe you're watching another show. I have no clue what you're talking about. Thomas Massey has announced that he will vote no on the Republican-sponsored spending bill. This is the Trump-endorsed bill. Yeah, I'm super worried about what I'm seeing. Because on the one hand, you have the narrative being created for social media consumption that we are saving money. Oh, the Doge clock is running. Run. Run, liberal employees of the federal government. Elon Musk is coming. But at the same time, I see Trump endorsing a budget that is still wasteful, still very much wasteful. And I'm like, to what extent are these cuts that we're doing any productive? If we can't ensure that they follow up with reduced budgets, voted by the politicians. And Thomas Massey is the last real Republican here voting no on it. But I hope that it doesn't pass, because I would want to see not only claims of cuts, but I would like to see those cuts cemented in the legislature, cemented in future budgets. Because even if you fire the leftists and the trans chatters of the NSA, even if you're firing just the tip of the iceberg, and then you throw money back at the system, it's going to become the same 2-3 years down the line. The problem is the flow of money. That's what you have to cut. If you just cut the symptoms, you're just really training the left to be a little more stealth, a little more stealthy. Blackwater founder Eric Prince has offered to privatize mass deportations for the White House. His proposal includes using processing camps, a fleet of 100 planes, and an army of private citizens to find and remove illegals. The offer carries a price tag of $25 billion. That's an interesting offer. I'm not a big fan of Blackwater, and I'm not a big fan of these corporations that make money from war military operations. Because these people have been buttered with extra money for so long, for decades. They've been given money, and I don't like it. That being said, this particular offer could be interesting. But why? First, is it that we don't know where the illegals are? Is it that we need commandos to just descend onto secret places where we know there are thousands of illegals? What is the current problem with the Trump administration not being capable of doing this operation? Now, If Blackwater can do it for $25 billion and can do a massive increase in the productivity of the deportation campaign, that could be a price that is decent. But if they take the $25 billion and it's all problematic and, oh, we can't really find the illegals and, oh, they're not here, but we're still going to charge you, then it starts becoming annoying. Then Simon says $500 toilet seats, typical theft for CIA black ops. Okay, I don't know of this specific. That's another thing in which I think Trump will disappoint us. Zelensky to visit the White House Friday to sign minerals deal. You know how Trump is all blah, blah, blah. He's a loose cannon. And he's been for years saying, oh, no, I'm against the war. Oh, I would be for the war, but you have to take the oil. They should have taken the oil. And he has this thing that he keeps repeating about war and about how we should have taken the oil. And he's trying to do this now with Zelensky. But it looks like it's going to be a very meager deal. It looks like Zelensky is headed to the White House Friday, and we don't have a deal on the table where there would be $500 billion guarantees in future revenue. In fact, it seems that right now, whatever the deal is, it specifically does not entitle the U.S. to get $500 billion in future rare mineral revenue or mining revenue of all sorts. So whatever that is, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a good deal. It seems like Trump has been dealt down. And Trump says, I hear Zelensky is coming on Friday. It's okay with me. It could be a $1 trillion deal. It could be whatever. Biden was throwing around money like it's cotton candy. Well, you haven't secured $500 billion, so it's not going to be a $1 trillion deal, Trump. In fact, you see in the phrase that he says, he's not even sure what the deal will be. It could be a $1 trillion deal. It could be whatever. It could be whatever. This is a Trump that has abdicated and that is about to sign a deal for much less than $500 billion coming back to the U.S. Is it going to be $100 billion? Is it going to be some loose promises that Ukraine can dance around in the future? It's certainly not going to be as big as Trump was making it to be. And it's always what we get with Trump. Rudy Acid says, yeah, I'm afraid Trump will ease off of Ukraine if he gets a mineral deal. Now he will say Zelensky is a good guy. Exactly. Once this deal is in, Trump is not even going to... If anything, Trump will be bound by this deal to be anti-Putin and to try to push back on Putin advancement. In fact, one of the things that seems to be part of the deal is the right for Ukraine to mine from the areas that have currently been occupied by Russia. So implicit in this deal is the idea that America recognizes the sovereign right of Ukraine onto these areas. So we're 2 months into the Trump presidency, and Zelensky has already whipped Trump down to a Biden. That sucks. And finally, as the last news item, Iran has put its defense systems around its nuclear sites on high alert amid fears of an attack by Israel and the US. And here you have the true pressure under which Trump is, which is there are expectations on Trump. There are expectations that he will defocus from Ukraine to focus on the Middle East and what Israel wants from him, which is an attack on Iran. Now you have Iran apparently has information that their nuclear sites are at risk, so they have higher alert. And it may be that Zelensky understands this. After all, he's Jewish, and it is his Jewish friends in Israel who are pulling Trump in that direction. So if you understand this, you understand that Trump has to rotate away from Ukraine. Therefore, he wants a deal to be signed. That's why when Trump says, whatever it is, it has to be something. That's a Trump that has abdicated. That's a Trump that has no leverage on Zelensky. And that's a Zelensky who understands it. And Trump probably has it on his schedule that within a few months, he needs to get this whole Russia-Ukraine thing resolved because he has a further military involvement project to get America involved into. That is the worrying thing right now. John Drake says, Zelensky is gone within weeks, maybe a few months. I don't get making any deals with him. Yeah, there's not even a function in making deals. It's really Trump wanting to defocus because it's what he has to do. Lyndall Guntram says, whatever is really a deal with Putin. Putin said he would allow the U.S. to develop minerals and earths in eastern Ukraine or Russia if everything settles down, mostly in Russian favor. I mean, hopefully you're right. We are Tuesday. We will know the answer to all this Friday. Hopefully this is not a Trump that has weakened and that somehow is just tired of the Ukraine stuff. Hopefully he continues putting pressure on this little clown, Zelensky. Dino Raja has sent $20 on Entropy. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, I want to preface this by saying I'm a fan of Keith Woods, but did you see his unfortunate outing by an e-girl who shared his personal DMs complaining about Nick Fuentes and leaving her a voice chat, simping to hear her voice more often? I have seen those leaks of Keith Woods. I have not retweeted them nor mentioned them because honestly, I look at this and it's pretty weak. Like, I've gone through it. This is just Keith Woods talking to woman. And, like, they tried to push this. This is Keith Woods talking against Nick Fuentes, seating against Nick Fuentes in DMs. I'm not feeling it that way. It's like, Keith Woods had a fallout with Nick Fuentes a couple of months ago. The fallout was that Nick Fuentes felt that he was getting thrown under the bus with his gripers being specifically targeted by Elon's ban, while the rest of the anti-Zionist forces of the internet, the Keith Woods of this world, Nick felt that Keith Woods didn't stand strongly enough. And in fact, he was out there saying, oh, well, you know, it's bad that he banned the groupers, but, you know, Elon also has done a lot of good things. And that annoyed Nick Fuentes. That annoyed Nick Fuentes because it's like, okay, well, there you are, benefiting as a big Twitter personality on anti-Zionism. You're kind of elevated because your competitors are getting pushed out of the platform, and your stance for free speech or for our right to be on X is at best loose, if not supportive of Elon. And I never really got into this conflict between the two because I think there are good arguments on both sides. So Keith Woods, his point was saying, well, I'm not an American. I'm looking at it from an Irish perspective. I'm not super connected to these networks. I'm sympathetic to them being on the platform, but I understand. Basically, Keith Woods was... I wouldn't side here with Keith Woods, nor would I side with Nick Fuentes. I think it's a personal conflict of subtleties. And so personally, I've never found it interesting to take side in this argumentations, other than saying, personally, I am vehemently for the return of the gripers on X, I find that the actions of Elon Musk have been killing a part of the fun that we had on the platform. And they were, even Grok recognized that they were, these decisions were made in a biased way and in a deceptive way, because Elon claimed it was platform manipulation. It wasn't platform manipulation. It was a bunch of kids who liked the same kind of tweets and who retweets among them. Now, you have this across the business. You have this in Daily Wire. Is Daily Wire manipulating your platform, Elon Musk? I mean, Daily Wire personality comment on other Daily Wire people, and they retweet Daily Wire people. This is exactly what the gripers were doing. That doesn't qualify as platform manipulation. So all in all, I'm sympathetic to Nick Fuentes, but would I join Nick Fuentes to the point of saying you are forced to stand by our side? You have to. That's not my personality, because I'm a libertarian. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Keith Woods may have his reasons, his weird reasons for not siding strongly here with them, but whatever. So this is the source of this conflict. Now, we are now presented with leaks of Keith Woods, in which it is claimed, oh, look at these DMs, bro. Keith Woods was talking against Nick Fuentes in private to this woman, and he was simping. And it's like, I've read this whole thing. This is just the public position of Keith Woods. Keith Woods had already stood in his podcast saying, look, this conflict with Nick Fuentes, I don't feel that I have committed anything wrong, and okay, we are in a friction here, and it sucks. So what I see in these DMs is exactly what Keith Woods has been saying publicly, which is, okay, he doesn't understand, he's frustrated at the fact that Nick Fuentes is pissed off at him, and he makes his defense for his own behavior. Now, what else in these DMs should I be shocked about? You're telling me he was simping for a woman. I would like to hear your voice. I would like to hear your voice. That is pathetic, but it's not a matter for public criticism. Like, at best, if what you say is true, he left a voicemail to a woman saying, I want to hear your voice. That is probably just a guy trying to get sex with a beautiful woman. And as ex-personalities, it is our responsibility to do this. We have so many opportunities, we have to take them. So Keith Woods here thought that he had an opportunity, so he played his card. But it's a private affair. I'm not going to be offended publicly because Keith Woods maybe sounds a little simpy in his approach to women. Whatever. Maybe Keith Woods is a giga Chad and you don't know it, and he was just playing this woman, you know? Maybe the Keith Woods game is so above your level that you just can't conceive that he would look like a simp but not be a simp. Whatever. All of this sounds like crap to me, which is why I've not commented up to this day on it. I'm not... So there he is in DM saying, Nick is a narcissist. I think it will hurt him most that I just don't really care about our friendship ending. He was saying these comments in private while that was happening in public. And so there's no lie here. There's no difference between his public and private position. It's just him talking about public events privately. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being here. Tomorrow we are Wednesday. Okay, it's Thursday. Thursday, I have a Twitter space with Ian Malcolm at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Ian Malcolm, the Jewish IQ guy, a Jewish question guy of X Spaces. So I'll be on there on Thursday. So probably I'll cancel the regular show for Thursday And I'll also have a Jan Rushdie interview. But tomorrow I should be live. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow.